Remember the things that you've put on my heart. Take away anything that's not of you. And we just commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this portion of scripture, before we do that, my color is orange. Wearing orange, you can see orange. And the primary colors of red, yellow, and blue cannot be formed by mixing any other color. And red, of course, is where we get the Hebrew word Auden, which we get the word Edom or Esau, which does mean flesh. We've heard that throughout our time here. And yellow is associated with fire, which has been associated with the purification process. So if you mix yellow and red together, you get orange. And if you use the meaning of red and yellow, you see orange representing the purifying of our flesh to perfect our faith. And orange is a color that gets your attention. It's used a lot in advertising. Orange is usually the color in highest security prisons, in the jumpsuits that the prisoners use, especially when they're being transported, because it's easiest to spot. And that's where we pick up our story of Joseph. He's in prison. And we look at verse 21. If my eyes can see it. It says, so Joseph has been thrown in prison by Potiphar because of Potiphar's wife. But it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. In chapter 40, I'm not going to read it, but time passes. We know that Joseph is in prison for a couple of years. And the king's butler and baker are thrown into prison. And each of them, while in prison, have a dream. And they both wake up really sad. And Joseph notices, hey, these guys are sad. Hey, what's wrong with you? And they said, we both had dreams and we don't know what they mean. So the butler, Joseph says, well, God can tell you what it means. Tell me your dream and I'll see if God will give the interpretation. So the butler tells his dream and he says, you know, he has this grapes and wine and he's putting it back in the king's hand. He's serving the king wine again. And Joseph tells him, that means in 3 days, you're going to be serving the king again. Your position is going to be restored. And then the baker goes, that was a good explanation of the dream. I think I'll share mine. So he says, in mine, I have baked goods in a basket on my head, and the birds are eating it out of there. And Joseph says, in 3 days, your head is going to be lifted off, and you're going to be hung, and the birds are going to eat your flesh. And it happened just as Joseph interpreted. After 3 days, it's the king's birthday, and everything is restored just as he said. One is killed, the other is restored to his position in serving the king. And so Joseph says to the butler, hey, please remember me, and that I did this, I was able to tell you this, and remember me in here when you are before the king again. But it says, a sad verse, that the butler forgot about Joseph, and so he didn't tell the king. And that's where we're going to pick up what I'm going to share about. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness performed out of a desire to relieve suffering. So God's heart for Joseph was to relieve his suffering in the midst of his trial. He doesn't forget him. He knows exactly where he is. A prison is defined as a place or a situation from which you cannot escape. And we see God working out our biblical definition of orange. He was purifying Joseph's purifying his flesh to perfect his faith in the situation that he was in. Throughout Scripture, we see that God uses the process in the lives of the people. He usually doesn't take us out of the circumstances, but he proves himself faithful through the process. We see that with Abraham, Moses, David, Paul, Job, and many more. They are called to do great things for the Lord, and they were called to do mighty things for the Lord. But first, they had to be led out into paths of humility in places of isolation because God needed to do a work and get them, more dead in their flesh so that they could live greater in the spirit. And so they learned, all these great men and women of faith, to trust the God who gave them the promise and not worry so much about the what or why the situation was happening. God had some breaking to do in Joseph's life before he could do the making of the man. And it reminds me of James 1:4. It says, "But let patience have its perfect work so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So I want to encourage us, don't despise the process. It may be hard, it may be awful, we may be tired of it, but just know that God has not forgotten you. He is working a good work in you, and he is perfecting your faith. God had a calling on Joseph's life that he wasn't yet prepared for, so he needed that time in prison. Joseph, though, even though he was going through these horrible trials, he held fast to his integrity, and he didn't let his circumstances dictate his relationship or feelings towards the Lord. He remained steadfast and faithful. And as women, we will also experience, there's not a breath almost that we can take that we're not experiencing some painful, unexplainable weird thing in our life. It comes with being born into a fallen world, a sinful world. And maybe you feel like you're in a prison. Maybe it's not a physical prison, but an emotional prison. Have you ever felt totally like confined in a situation and you see no way of escape? Take heart that there's seasons for everything. Sometimes the seasons are long and sometimes they're short, but everything, the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. Seasons will end, so we need to not grow weary and give up. My pastor's wife used to tell me, "This is just hard. Hard is not bad. It's just hard. You can do hard." And so I'm like, okay, it's not the end of the world. It is hard, but we can persevere. Everything in our lives have to pass through God's hands. And so if you are in a trial, it's because God has entrusted that trial to you, and he's counting on you. He believes in you that you will walk through it faithfully and trustworthy. It can be a test of our faith. In situations where we feel imprisoned, we have to keep God in the forethoughts of our minds and not dwell on the situation or ourselves or all the what ifs and on how our mind sort of keeps us up at night. We need to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. We need to be in the Word and in prayer and diligently seeking him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sometimes that's all we can do. It's just our next breath depends upon his next word to us. But he can keep our inner soul free, even if we're in a difficult, hard situation. We see that Joseph had a single eye and a soul master. He lived for the approval of one person, and that was God alone. He lived his life to please the Lord. He sought his presence, his companionship, and God's instruction. And he didn't live according to his emotions. We don't see him in there in the prison running around telling everybody, "This is what happened to me." We don't see him at all. He does state what happened to him. And he said, "Remember me," but he's trusting in the Lord. And we see this is another good point when you are in a trial. We see that Joseph is thinking of other people. How can I help you? How can I serve you? So when we go through difficult things, it's hard because our eyes are on our own pain and our own suffering. But it will help relieve that pain if we can get our eyes off of ourselves and onto others and be serving through that pain. I know Elizabeth Elliot used to say, do the next thing. Just sometimes you hurt so bad you don't know what to do. Just do the next thing of service that is before you. I know that Joseph knew that this was an injustice done to him, but he never let that injustice overpower God's presence with him. I think he realized that God was doing something in him more than the injustice that was being done to him. As women, we must rise above our emotions and reacting to them and responding to them, and we need to have self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can just muster up. We have to pray. We have to be in the Word. We have to truly be seeking to live our lives in a way that brings God honor. And the more that we're in the Word and in prayer, the fruit of His Holy Spirit will just naturally come through us. But we still do have a choice when we're in difficult situations to either react the way our flesh wants to, or to use that self-control that comes by the power of the Lord. And if we know Him, we have it. We're going to have many injustices done to us and many false things said about us, hurtful things. To quote a line of poetry, it says, as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me. So we can't walk through this world and walk with the Lord without having our feet pierced like Jesus. It's going to happen to us. It happened to Him, and it will happen to us if we're followers of Jesus. If we are true followers, we're on the path of Calvary. And Calvary is the road to death. We're to have death to ourselves. It's not easy. We were just talking at our table that it's so easy to read these stories, but when we apply it to our life and try to apply it to the situations that happen to us, it becomes real, and it's really hard oftentimes. But we have God, the same God that was with Joseph, we have with us, helping us to do the hard things. And I pray that each of us will walk through our hard trials with integrity. When we are going through a hard time and we don't understand what the Lord is allowing, we have to remind ourselves of who God is and His character, because the enemy will lie to us and make us think that God has forgotten us, He doesn't care for us, or maybe that God is like our human parents. If we had bad parents, we might start thinking that, oh, God's our heavenly Father, so He might be like my dad, who is not so great. So, you know, and our minds can think carnally, or you know, with our human nature, but we have to go back to what the Word says about God, that He loves us, that He's long-suffering, He's merciful. He won't cause us a needless tear, and He doesn't waste our tears. He's with us in the hard times. You know, when you put a tea bag in hot water, tea comes out. What comes out of us when we're in hot water? That's the true test of character. And Joseph passed his test. Whatever you're storing up inside of you right now in your daily life with your walk with the Lord, that's what's going to come out of you when your trials hit. When the trial comes, it's too late to start cramming in Bible verses and trying to cling to the Lord with all your heart. It's like we're just like clinging to everybody else. Help. And it's okay to run to people also for help, but not in a panic. It's nice to have someone that you know will pray with you and give you true counsel and speak the truth to you, whether you want to hear it or not. But we need to first be willing to run to the Lord and keep our hearts and minds stayed on him. So we need that already to be memorizing scripture in the word, developing a true relationship with Jesus, so that when the hard things come, we can be like Joseph and bring God honor through the situation. I want to leave you with this last story illustration. In 1799, Conrad Reed discovered a 17-pound rock while fishing in the Little Meadow Creek. Not knowing what it was made of, his family used it as a doorstop for 3 years. In 1802, his father, John Reed, took it to a jeweler who identified it as a lump of gold worth about $3,600, and this is in 1802, so that's a lot of money. That lump of gold, which was used as a doorstop for 3 years in North Carolina, is one of the biggest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rockies. Until its composition was determined, its value was unknown. And that's how it is with us. Until the composition of our faith is determined, its strength is unknown. God allows trials in our lives not to hurt us, but to strengthen us and to prove us. What are we made of? What comes out of us when the heat's turned up? How will we stand or not stand? I believe we're living in the last days. Things are heating up all around us, and it's going to get hotter and hotter. Things are escalating faster and faster. I pray that each of us in this room will be found faithful like Joseph. Let's pray. Lord, make us faithful women of God, able to stand on your word, in your way, in your truth. Help us, Lord, not to grow weary of doing well. You promise that we'll see fruit if we remain faithful. Help us not to think it's strange if we fall into these various trials. Help us to bring you honor, Lord. I pray for all the ladies here, and especially the ones that are in a difficult trial right now, that you would give them an extra measure of your grace, and that you would let them know that you are walking through that with them. You may not snatch us out of the circumstance or take it away, but you will be a strong, mighty tower for us and a strong foundation. We commit our trials to you, Lord, and ask for your help. We love you in Jesus' name.